It's that time of the week when we get the weekly updates with George Famien about the World Food Programme.
Right, and he's joining us in the studio right now to tell us about the WFP activities and what has been keeping him very busy.
George Famien is the communication officer. George, good morning, and it's always good to have you on Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning to you, Sevit William. Good morning to you, Irene, and a very good morning to the listeners of Radio Mirai across South Sudan.
Yes, Judge, let's begin with the big highlight of the week. World Food Programme has assisted 4.2 million people since the beginning of the year. Who are these people? Where are they? And how significant is this figure?
Let me begin with the fact, with the significance. This is an important milestone in terms of what we've been doing over the years here in South Sudan. This is the highest number of people that we've been able to serve in South Sudan since independence. And we are serving them by providing general food distributions. We are also providing prevention and treatment of malnutrition for children under the age of 5 and nursing mothers. And it also includes children who receive school meals and food assistance for assets activities. These are people who receive food so that they are, while they are performing a particular task, to enhance their own livelihoods. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of all of these. And it's not only food, because some of the people that we are serving also receive cash assistance. And so this support, this number of 4.2 million actually exceeds the support that we reached in the whole of 2016. So it tells you the significance of this number.
Right. And the situation in Muvolo is still alarming. How has the WFP responded in this regard?
With the growing insecurity in the greater Muvolo area and much of and many other parts in that area, what the World Food Programme has been doing is to scale up our assistance to ensure that we can reach these communities. And so in the past week, the World Food Programme, through its partners on the ground, because we're working with our partners on the ground in the area, we have been able to start moving assistance. So we did airlifts, that is helicopter movements, where helicopters flew in with supplies, and then our partners who are on the ground have been receiving this assistance and working on plans in terms of distribution. And what we are also doing in that is that we are additionally also trying to move food items by road, and this is to go into the greater Mundri area mm-hmm. in general. And so this week, basically on Monday, we had a convoy which started moving with food. It's a convoy of about 22 trucks, and which is moving with food going into this part, so that we can try as much as possible to step up the response there and see how we can handle the situation which people are faced with.
And what is happening in the other hunger-prone regions of Upper Nile, Jonglei, and Unity?
Well, we have continued in these areas with our rapid response teams, with the integrated rapid response missions, with teams deployed in these states which you've mentioned. They are providing life-saving food and nutrition assistance to about 117,000 people, including 19,000 children under the age of 5. And WFP this year, the World Food Programme, this is planning an additional about 35 missions in the coming 6 weeks. The whole idea is that we could be able to reach about 724,000 people in the coming weeks. Just to mention that in the past week, the integrated rapid response mechanism teams have completed distributions in Lier, in Tonyo, in Padea, in Dindin. These are places in which were in the areas that used to be affected by famine, and deliveries and distributions are currently ongoing in parts of Mayendit, Dabloal, Taker, Obtwai, and in, also in Mayom, that is in former Unity State, and we have airdrops which are ongoing in Jich, that is in former Jonglei State.
Mm-hmm. And WFP and its partners World Vision successfully completed the pilot Juba Urban Cash program, and can you tell us more about this program?
That's a very exciting program which I believe I'd want to share with our listeners here, and I'll hope to share even more in detail with Radio Miraya going out and meeting with these. So what we've noticed is what has come through a lot of the assessments is that there's a lot of hunger even in urban settings such as Juba. And in these areas, you have to think about the way you try to respond. How do you assist people? Is it by giving them food? Is it by giving them cash? Is it by training them so that they can be able to find a way that can support them? And so the World Food Program, with our partner World Vision and with the support of many of our donors, particularly the United States of America, worked on trying to develop a pilot program where we were providing cash for training. So what we were doing is people came with, they were identified, the most vulnerable people in particular communities, and what happened was that they received training in life skills, in things which they could do, how to grow a garden if you're in town, how to come up with an idea which could help you be able to raise some money and then use that money to obtain what you need to survive. And all of that, we were able to do that, package it together so that we were serving the people by not just providing something for them to survive on, but something that they would thrive on for the rest of their time. And this was done in a pilot phase, which was supposed to reach about 42,000 people. Mm-hmm. And that pilot phase is over. And with the success of this, our donor partners are encouraged, and we also believe that it is important that we continue with this. And so we are looking at ways now of continuing with this and not just looking at it as a pilot, and also identifying ways in which we could expand it. So it's a very interesting pilot. A lot of people, a lot of women particularly, were able to say by themselves that what they obtained as training was very useful to them, and which they can use to make sure that they live and survive.
Yes, George, it's really unfortunate, and of course it hurts to realize even in Juba here, the people have to rely on the World Food Program. And of course, over 4.2 million people that have been helped this year alone with World Food Program. How can the people be self-reliant? What should be done to ensure that? Well, the reliance on this aid is a little reduced, because at the long run, I'm not sure this is sustainable. The fact that even people don't have to rely and wait for food, they should be able to produce for themselves and rely. What should be done?
The overall goal of the World Food Program, I always indicate it here and with all the partners who work on food security, is so that we get to a stage in the world where, Sebit William, no one, no woman, no child, no boy, no girl who's out there goes to bed without food or goes to bed hungry. And for that to happen, it must be something which is sustainable. It must be something where you've got a situation where the country itself can take care of its needs, where the people themselves would be able to cater for their needs. And in this particular situation now that we find ourselves in South Sudan, we have repeatedly said it, and many organizations have said it, you need, the first thing is peace. Peace so that people can be able, in the many places where we go to assist them, that people could be able to return to their livelihoods and therefore start taking care of themselves. But it's also working peace which ensures that the government at national level, at state level, at the level of the counties, would be able to put in place measures and structures which would enable a sustainability in terms of food security and livelihoods for the longer term. And a situation where the people including the economic sector, the private sector, can all participate in building this longer-term food security. And we are all hopeful of that, and we are working with it. And that's why we have some of the initiatives which you see, whether it is the food for assets or it is cash, mm-hmm. which supports people to do something so that it builds the whole idea of self-sustenance, self-reliance. Because eventually, as you said, it is important for people to be the ones who take care of themselves.
Yes. And George, finally, how is the World Food Programme logistics team coping with the rainy season?
Well, it's you could imagine it's that time of the year, and it is quite tough for our logistics teams in terms of moving our trucks around. But they do continue. They continue to deliver food and nutrition items by all means across South Sudan. Over the past week, for example, the World Food Programme transported about 1,000 metric tons of food from Juba to Kapoita, and 710 metric tons from Juba to Bor, which means that we try as much as we can, even in the challenging circumstances. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is to save lives, to be able to change lives, and to be able to give people hope and a dream for a better future with the support that we provide.
All right, George, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure as always, and a very good morning to all the listeners of Radio Mirai.